Welcome to Library Life, the podcast where we talk about all things library.
And some things not.
My name is Jenna.
And my name is Shayna.
And this week we're talking about how we can be better in 2021. Welcome back to a brand new season of Library Life.
Season three.
Season three. I don't know, I was going to do some like... Woots. And then I was like, nah, pull it back a bit. Welcome back to another season. We're happy to be back.
Yes.
A little later than we had said. I don't even know. What did we say in our finale? Do you remember?
I don't think we gave an exact date.
I feel like I gave an exact date and I was like, we're never going to do that. But we are happy to be back. This episode, we are talking about some of our goals for 2021. Mm-hmm. I know that we're already...
3 months into it.
3 months in. Well, we're like two and
we're
six.
We're two and a, yeah.
Two and a few days.
We're in the third month of the year.
That's right. But I think an important thing about setting goals is to not tie them down to beginnings of months, years. Because then you're like, well, failed for this year. Better wait till next year. So goals are good anytime. So you want to talk about some of our goals for 2021. And I think to start us off... we will go over to Shayna.
Yeah.
And I think Shayna's goal will also tell you a little bit about why we were not on the air.
So this year I decided to go back to school to finish my diploma degree.
Tell them what your degree is.
Okay, so...
I mean, it's kind of obvious, but tell them the story.
I never finished my library tech diploma, and I decided that I should probably do that.
When did you start
that? It's been a while.
No, but like, did you like start right after high school?
Or no, I took a year off after high school, and then I did it for a little while, and then I just kind of stopped. I know.
There's more to that story.
I kind of got further along in my career and got to this point where I'm sure everyone feels it. Why am I doing school if I'm already have
the job you want when school's done?
Correct.
Yeah.
But last year, I guess we can use the word convicted. I was
yeah
convicted to, you know, finish my diploma since.
Well, and you were hired on the understanding you would
yes,
finish, right?
Yes, exactly. So I decided to, you know, keep my word. This started in January.
Yeah.
And getting back into the swing of doing school and working full-time has been interesting.
Yeah, because when you did school before, you were working part-time, right?
Yes. And, like, when I first started, I was, like, shelving, like, maybe 12, 13 hours a week. So yeah. It's drastically different than my, like, 36 and a half hours
yeah,
a week
like
that
a
I'm doing now.
Full-time shift.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. I think school's hard. Like, I remember when I was in university, I had got the position I have now. When I was in between second and third year, mm-hmm. like the summer in between. And I remember there was a point in third year when I'm like, why am I doing this? I already have a good job. Which yeah. is like such a privilege to be yes. able to be like, I got the job I wanted when I was finished school before I finished school. And I recognize that, but it makes it really hard to follow through.
Yeah. And like, I'm the type of person that doesn't really love school to begin with. So it was a little bit of a
yeah
struggle to
be motivated.
To be motivated to do that. So that's my goal this year, is to keep motivated and keep doing it.
Yeah. And, like, the time management piece, working full-time, like, how's that yes. been going?
I mean, it's been okay. I've, like, handed in assignments, like, on time, but there's
you
definitely...
You haven't had to pull any all-nighters?
Well, no, because I...
I was thought you were going to say, well, yes, and I was like, really, when?
But there was definitely a time where I was, like, finishing assignment and handing it in, like, an hour before the due date. Due date, which is school life. I get it.
Due
but
date
I'm...
is the due date. You get it?
Oh my goodness.
Like D-U-E-D-O.
Yes, you're so funny.
So funny. Said that so many times at undergrad.
And I'm too old to pull an all-nighter, so I yeah. was just...
I know. I'm like only 25 years old, and I'm like, dang, I'm old.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore.
I'm talking about it for the last few weeks. Everyone I talk to, I'm like, I'm feeling so old, guys. I don't know what's on trend. I don't know what's cool. I don't understand why I can't wear skinny jeans anymore. Someone help me. Anyways, so that's your goal.
That is my goal. Motivated. That's my big goal, is to just be motivated and just, you know, get this done.
And how do you feel you're doing so far?
I think I'm doing okay.
Like, do you think there's anything that you need to, like, change? Or do you think you're, like, you're good?
I've, like, learned
like, are there, like, any, things. Like, habits where you're, like, okay, I really need to, like, practically, I can't do this, or I have to do this.
Yeah, I've kind of realized on the, like, the two nights a week that I work evenings, like, until 7, like, it's not realistic for me to think that I'm going to come home from that and then do schoolwork.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, like, unless I have to, like, because I have an assignment due or something.
Yeah.
But I've just realized, so, like, Monday, Wednesday nights, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of, like, a relief when you're, like, set realistic goals about things, so then you don't have to feel guilty or bad about, like, not being able to meet those expectations for
doing
yourself.
Things when you're fueled by guilt is just, like, doesn't work. No. Like, it might work in the short term, but then you just feel like trash, and that's not a way to live.
No, and then I won't feel motivated to actually do anything, and it's
and just then it's just like spiral. Circle. Well, I'm glad that you're back on the school train. I've been, like, super impressed.
Thank you.
We, like, even set up my old desk in Shana's room.
Yes.
It's tell them about how it's all janky right now.
So Jenna had this desk from when she was in school.
It's an IKEA desk.
So it's kind of like build your own kind of situation. So we have two legs, and then the other side of it, she had a set of like three drawers that we were using it. But we are using those drawers for like to put our record player and our records on, and then we're also actually
hipsters.
I know we're such hipsters, and we're actually using the drawers to like
hold stuff. Yeah,
and they're real heavy, so
we're not moving that upstairs.
We're not moving them up to my room, so we were like trying to figure out how this will work, and I was like, I'll just order some new legs from IKEA. But turns out everyone is ordering desks and legs from IKEA, so there was none to be found. So we have this janky setup where it's like a Rubbermaid container, and on top of that, it's like
boxes.
Boxes and some books to even it out.
Okay, if you have a lot of books, there's always the books you don't like that much that get used for like non-reading purposes, like holding stuff up.
Or exactly.
Propping up a bed. I have a pile of books holding up one side of my bed. They're like zip tied together into like a brick.
Oh my!
Because when we moved, one of the legs got bent.
Yes, I remember, Jenna.
Okay. Anyways, janky solution.
Janky solution, but it is working, and I have the setup now to actually
have like a workspace.
Yes.
And does that help? That really helps me, but I don't know. Does that matter to you?
It does in the sense that it's like everything is in one spot, and I don't have to be like for the first little while. I just used our like dining room table. I couldn't leave stuff.
No, because, like, we don't have a big place, and it's, like, you go to eat dinner, and it's, like, computer, textbook. It's, like, well, this is not going to work. Our table only has two spots at it, so.
Yes. So, that's been nice. That's my first goal, is back to school, which kind of has led to the fact that that's why we haven't been recording episodes, because
I've just been busy.
Been busy.
Like, because it's like, okay, I got to get the school stuff done.
Yeah.
And then I'm busy, too. Like, I have other commitments outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so it's just been busy. And it's like, okay, we got to find a time.
To get this done. And we've had, like, plans for the first three episodes. Like,
yeah, so I don't know what our problem is.
For, like, months.
But we're back. We're back on the air.
Yeah.
Moving forward.
We're moving forward. All right, Jenna, what's your first goal?
My first goal is also kind of like a life update goal.
Yeah.
I've been working from home since the end of December.
Uh-huh.
The first time we went off from COVID, I didn't work from home. But with the second round of lockdown, I did work from home. And I worked a little bit in the library, like one or two days a week in the library. And then my other shifts I did at home,
mm-hmm.
which I can do. So my goal is to really really pin down that work from home balance, life balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I was like working all these extra hours. Like, it's not like that. Like, some people get crazy when they work from home and they just never stop working. That wasn't really my problem. It was just trying to be like, okay, I'm in a space where normally I'm like doing whatever I want, and I can't do that because my time isn't my own.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my goal. We wrote these goals out a few weeks ago, and I feel like I have been doing much better with that. Where it's like, okay, like when I sit down, I have my work email open. Like, something I did is I used, I have a different browser for work.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know on Chrome how you can have different profiles?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a different profile. It's like my work profile. Mm-hmm. And it has all my, like, favorites I have on my work computer and, like, my Google stuff.
Yeah.
It's all there. So that's been really helping with the work from home balance. At first, I was finding it really tricky to stay focused for my whole shift. It was not so bad for the 4-hour shifts, but when I work a whole day from home.
Oh, yeah.
I found it a little tricky to stay, like, focused like I would at work. And then I kind of realized it's, like, when you're at work, you have moments where you're not, like, you're talking to someone mm-hmm. or stuff like that. So it's okay to, like, have some of those moments where it's like, I'm just going to check my personal email real quick.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, as long as I don't get out of control, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just finding that balance was a big goal. And I still am working it out. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be working from home. So we'll see what happens. But I really just want to keep being consistent and keep being, like, honest and,
yeah,
like, working hard when I'm at home. Because it's so tempting just to be like, oh, I'll just do a load of laundry. And then I'll do, oh, I'll just wash up these few dishes. And it's like, yeah. No, I'm on work time. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to be working. So that's my big goal in terms of work. Like, yes. That's immediate goal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just to really nail down that work from home life balance. And it has been improving. And I find if I, like, make a plan, it also helps. Okay, today I'm going to do this.
I feel like that is huge, helpful a lot, right? To have, like, a to-do list of, like, I need to accomplish this before I can do that.
Or... Yeah, and I have, like, a Google Keep list that I use. So I have a list of, like, things I need to check when I get back to the library. Because I'm not really working away on something, and I'll be like, oh, I really need that thing that's in the archives at the library.
Yeah.
So I just write it down, and then I also write down everything I'm going to do at home. Like, if I have a job where it's like, oh, I need to reply to this email, I can do that at home when I'm at work. So I, like, put that on my to-do at home. And by having the list with a little checkbox, I can check them off.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't lose track of stuff. So, but if you're working from home and you're listening to this podcast, let me know what you're doing.
Yeah, share your tips on how to keep focused. And...
you can hit us up on social media. All right, Gina, what is your next goal? Oh, by the way, we should have said this at the beginning, but we didn't. We each have three goals.
Yes, so... we each have three goals.
I mean, I have more goals in my life, but those are the three goals that are coming on the podcast today.
Yes, and they're, if you haven't picked up the theme yet, they're kind of more work.
Well, obviously, it's library life.
Related. These are my goals.
These are my personal life goals. I mean, I could tell you that, but another episode.
Okay. My next goal is, this year I am the new head chair of staff association at work, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, you sound super excited about that.
No, it's really great. So the way it works at my library is that we have a staff association, and there's a representative from each department in each branch, essentially. And this is my second year serving on the staff association.
How did you start? Like, what position were you?
I didn't actually have a position. There's only, like...
Oh, you were just, like, an opinion giver?
Yes.
That's the best position on a committee. You don't have to do any work.
So there's, like, three, like... executive positions. Uh-huh. I think that's what they refer to them. So there's, like, chair, vice chair. Actually, there's four. Chair, vice chair, secretary, and treasurer.
Yeah.
Essentially, our terms are for 2 years. Typically, they don't make the new person fill any of those positions.
Right.
But when it's your second year, you're kind of encouraged to...
do an executive job.
Yes. But there's, like, six or seven of us on this committee. Anyways... I volunteered to be chair this year.
Good for you. That is not like, it's not that you couldn't do it. It's just that that's not like you. You're not the one who's like, I want to be in charge. That's me.
I know. It's very much Jenna, not me. I just felt like, you know, it's just a thing to do. I like enjoy, I liked my last year being on the committee.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting. And I knew that, like, no one else was really going to go for it.
Hey, sometimes the best leaders are born of necessity.
Yes. So I volunteered and got voted in, which is great.
Great.
When
you told me, I was like, oh, get it, girl. I was like, dang.
But yeah, so now I have all the power. No, I'm just kidding.
So what do you guys actually do with your staff association?
Yeah, so essentially it's like staff can bring to any one of us any concerns or questions they have about policies or procedures or like the way things are run in the library, and we present them. Oh, I should also tell you that on this committee is our CEO and our head of HR as well.
Yeah.
So essentially how it works is like someone can come to me and be like, hey, I don't really understand why we made this decision. Like, I think it should be like this. And then I can bring it to the committee and like we keep names off of it. So it's not like,
yeah.
So Jenna brought something to me. I wouldn't say, Jenna thinks or like...
I hate how the new signs in nonfiction have changed colors.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's some like small issues like that we will have like, oh, why isn't there any salt and pepper in the staff room? All the way up to like, I think this policy that we just introduced is sexist or, like...
Has some problems.
Has some problems. Yeah. Or, like, there's some real concern about, like, any big issue.
Yeah.
And then we present it to the committee, and it gives, like, our CEO and the head of HR a chance to, like, respond. And also so they can kind of get the pulse over, like...
What people are feeling.
What people are feeling. We handle all of the charity things too. So as a staff association and as a library, we have some charities that we contribute to. So we typically do like 3 a year, and we kind of like handle like the campaign for those and pick which one it is. And
so what is so what is your goal in terms of this role?
Because you're in charge. I am in charge, and I didn't totally understand what that meant when I volunteered.
Never do. You never do. Been
a little bit of a rude awakening, but
yeah.
I think for me, it's just like I want to get more involved in my workplace. Yeah. And for me, this is a good way to do that. And I just want to like be able to contribute something positive. And
yeah, it's a tough time, like for everybody.
It's really tough.
So it's like cool that you have an opportunity to be leading something that is positive.
Mm-hmm. And not that anyone from past years have been awful, just like, yeah. And this year I also like volunteered to with the staff Christmas party as well. So that's another opportunity that I found that I can get more involved.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. What's your next goal?
My next goal is, I'm not sure if it's like a real goal or just something I've been like thinking about, but let's call it a goal. I'd like to do a presentation at OLA.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Next year, I think. If it's not online again. Because I don't really want to do a virtual presentation. I haven't really said this to anyone at work yet, so if you're listening from work, here you go. Something I've been thinking about. If you don't know, OLA stands for Ontario Library Association, and they have a big conference every year in Toronto. And there's lots of different presenters, and lots of people from our libraries have presented before. And they get, like, people who work in libraries to do presentations.
Yeah.
And I've had a couple opportunities over the past year to do some online training. Like, helping with people who are doing training videos online.
Yeah.
One of them was with a colleague. We did, like, a session for SOULS, which is Southern Ontario Library
Systems.
I never know what the last letter is. And it was on like our Tech Connect program. If you saw me on there, you should totally tell me if you're a listener of the podcast. I thought about plugging the podcast at the end of it, and I'm like, nah, better not do that. When they're like, so what's your bio? And I'm like, well, I didn't plug the podcast. But anyways, I got to help her with that. I didn't really, like, she was leading it, my colleague, and I just assisted. And that was cool. It was a cool opportunity. And it was really fulfilling, you know, to see people in the chat being like, this was so helpful. Thank you. So I thought, you know what, I have something to offer, and so what I want to do my OLA presentation on is on, so I work in the local history department, and we use a program called Our Ontario. It's a website, a nonprofit, I think they're a nonprofit, but I'm not sure. And they offer, like, a website where you can post all your digitized collection, basically. So something you can do on there is to make virtual exhibits. And I've made a number of virtual exhibits, but in order to do these exhibits, you can use their, like, format that they have, which is, like, super, looks like old school. It's not great.
Oh, yeah.
Or you can do, like, HTML text in it, where you format it using HTML stuff.
Ooh.
So I spent a lot of time over the last years finding, I'm not an HTML expert at all, but I've, like, figured out all the little things that you need to know in order to make good exhibits. Or, like, I think they're good, but... so I thought it would be cool to do, like, a presentation on that, like, how to write a good virtual exhibit. So part of it would be, like, the technical stuff. Part of it would be, okay, how do you write good text? Like, how do you tell a story through your objects and your archives? And then how do you promote it? So that's kind of an idea I've been kicking around. And I don't know if it's actually going to happen or not this year. I got to talk to my boss about it. But, like, it's just a thought I've been having.
Yeah.
It's kind of, like, a niche thing.
Very much
But the people who do it, like, all over Ontario, they go to these seminars. Because usually there's, like, one or two,
like,
seminars.
Like, local history ones.
Yeah. And then and all those people go. And they do have seminars specifically for our Ontario.
Right.
Like, I went to one at OLA this year. So that's my thoughts. It's kind of, like, a low-key goal. Where I'm like, I'm okay if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I don't even know when you have to start applying. Because the conference is usually in January or February. So I'm sure I haven't missed a deadline to apply, but I just don't know if it's going to happen this year or not.
Yeah.
But that is a goal, to be more actively giving, sharing that knowledge, because I do feel like I have put a lot of effort into figuring this out, so I should share that with other people.
Hmm.
So that's a very specific goal.
Yes. But it's a very cool goal.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens there. I think this is the perfect time to transition into our first reading break. We're not at that part yet. Do our first reading break of season 3.
Yay! Reading break! It's been a while since we've done one of these.
Yes, it has.
And I've read many books.
Yes, you have.
So the one I want to talk about on this episode is The Midnight Bargain by C.L. Polk. I think that's how you say our last name. Their last name,
sorry. I don't know how else you would say that.
So I found this book by scrolling through CBC one day at work.
Yeah, it's one of the Canada Reads books.
It is one of the Canada Reads books, but this was before it was the Canada Reads books. It was on one of their, like, books to read in the, you know,
oh, so
fall,
you read it, like, before it was cool.
Yes. Anyway, so this book is actually right up my alley. It's, the main character's name is Beatrice, and it's a fantasy novel paired with, like, a historical romance.
I'm kind of surprised that's up for Canada Reads, although I haven't followed that closely. Have they had a lot of genre books over the last few years?
I think this year their theme is, like, books to, like, transport you, or,
oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
That makes so sense. All of them are kind of, like, genre books. But anyways, back to The Midnight Bargain.
Yes.
So it's a cross between, like, a fantasy and a historical romance kind of thing. Main character's name is Beatrice, and in this world, you have people who can do magic, that they call magicians.
No kidding.
No kidding, right? I know. So it's typical at that point. The thing is that women cannot practice magic until they have gone through menopause.
Oh, really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Because the way you practice magic is by, like, you essentially get, like, a demon helper.
Okay.
And they're... What can happen to women is, like, if you are pregnant, then the demons can come in and, like, possess your baby, essentially. And okay. It's, like, it's very bad.
Yeah. But,
so, essentially, our main character, Beatrice, has an affinity for magic, which makes her very desirable in this society because it means that she will have magical children. She doesn't want to wait until menopause. She wants to practice magic now.
Okay.
But the problem is that her family is in a lot of debt. And in order to get them out of debt, her dad has, like, put all of his money into her having a good, they call it the bargaining season, which is essentially, like, if you think about, like, the season.
Yeah, the capital S season.
The capital S season in, like, Regency London kind of a thing. Think like that. So essentially, everything's riding on her finding a good husband that will, like, get them out of debt. And But she wants to be a magician, which means that she won't. That she can't get married, to this whole thing where she's, like, she's trying to find these grimoires, and there's this boy that from this family that, like, really likes her, and she kind of really likes him, but it's, like, if she gets married, and they kind of have to wear these, like, collars that, like, restrict their magic, so they can't...
Interesting.
It's interesting. It's very much, like, it kind of gives me a little bit of, like, Margaret Atwood vibes with, like,
the Handmaid's
Tale.
I was gonna say, this sounds like Margaret Atwood. Yeah, maybe why I got picked.
Yes, very much so. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good, fun... Beatrice is an interesting character.
Yeah.
And then she has, like... She meets a friend who's also interested in magic, and it's kind of this, like...
Was it an easy read?
Like, it is an easy read.
Yeah, that's good.
I will say that the ending to me was very confusing. Like, not plot-wise. Like, it made sense. But there was, like... It seemed like the book was setting it up for a series.
And then it was like, never mind.
And then the epilogue was like... Like 2 years in the future. And it was like... And like a lot of stuff got wrapped off, like, off screen. And then, like...
Well, I hate when that happens.
Got presented as, like, a, you know, they're happy ever after. Like...
Yeah.
It was
just... And
you're
just, like, let's just cut this epilogue, please.
Yeah. Like, I thought, like, what happened in the epilogue was, like, great. But I would have liked to have seen that, like, play out in a book. But anyways, I think I gave it, like, a 4-star because it was a really... It was a quick read and it was interesting.
And you can feel snooty because it's a Canada Reads book.
Exactly. But yeah, so I thought it was a good read, but just so you know, I thought the ending was... Like, it was a good ending plot-wise, but it was just... It felt a little rushed.
Okay. That's Valid.
Yeah. Valid. All right, Jenna, what have you been reading?
Okay, well, I read a bunch of the Kelly Armstrong books.
I love Kelly Armstrong so much.
In January and February. I've kind of read the whole series of the Rockton series.
Yeah.
Which Shayna has definitely talked about on the podcast
before. Yes, I have. Because I love Kelly Armstrong so much.
Because I always thought of Kelly Armstrong as, like, an urban fantasy writer.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I don't mind urban fantasy. You can listen to our urban fantasy episode from last season if you're interested in that. But I don't mind urban fantasy. But it's not, like...
It's not your type
of
book.
Not my go-to.
No.
You know? But Shane was like, you should read these. These are really good. These are mysteries. The first book is City of the Lost. I guess they're thrillers. They're not... I guess I think...
That's what it says on the cover, Jenna.
I know, but I think of thrillers as, like, psychological thrillers.
Yeah, it's not psychological thrillers.
No, it's just, like, a mystery to me.
Yeah.
So, the premise, in case you didn't hear Shayna talk about it, is that the main character goes to live in this settlement in the Yukon that's, like, totally off-grid. And she... I'm not explaining it as well as you are. I feel like the pressure to do a good synopsis like you do. She goes to live in the Yukon as a detective. Like, they need a detective for their little settlement. With the settlement is all people who are running away from crimes they've done, or, like, people are chasing them. Like, kind of like witness protection. But then people can buy their way in, and they're, like, not as good people. Like, they actually did crimes. Yes. They're not just running from crimes. That makes sense. So, I read through that whole series, and I really enjoyed that one. I thought they were quick reads. They're engaging.
Yes.
Like, they're interesting, and it's also just, like, interesting setting. I think I realized that I'm, like, very into setting. And I don't know why it took me so long to figure this out, but all the books I really like are books that have really strong settings.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Like, if you think about Louise Penny.
Yeah.
That strong, like, Quebec country, you know. That strong setting, these Kelly Armstrong books, super strong setting. Like, the sense of place is very strong in these books. And, like, the whole off-grid, that's fun to see people living off-grid.
And the Tamara Pierce books.
Yeah, those Becca Cooper books I loved.
Because they're inner city.
Yeah, the inner city fantasy, love that stuff. Like, it's all about the setting. So I think that's, like, a big deal to me. And I kind of realized that when I was reading these. I'm like, So I read them all, and I just finished reading... Well, I didn't just finish reading it, but one of my last books I read was A Stranger in Town. That's her newest one.
Which so, I also read.
Yes. I bought it, and then she read it. So, which I enjoyed. I would recommend that series if you're looking for a mystery that's, like, not, like, that's engaging, but it's not, like, shallow. Like, there's some different things going on.
And not, like, formulaic, like some of the mystery series are.
And they do connect. You need to read them in order. I'm all about the overarching plots for mysteries. So, I would recommend that one. I thought that was a good series. It's just interesting. Yeah. And the Yukon is interesting. It's not a place you think about that much.
Very cool.
10 out of 10. Well, maybe not. 8 out of 10. All right, let's go back to our goals.
Yes. All right, back to our goals for the year.
How to be better in 2021.
Yeah. So I guess my last goal is this year I've been able to help a lot more with our, like, virtual programming at work, because I'm sure it's similar in your libraries as well, but, like, we were not doing in-person programs at the time.
Right, COVID.
Because of COVID. And I was given the opportunity to help one of the programmers edit one of her story times and videos, and I really enjoyed it. So I think one of my goals this year is to see if I can do more editing and video editing and stuff like that.
Are they doing live programs, or are they mostly, like, recorded stuff?
There's a mix of it. I feel like, see, the thing with my job is that, like, I'm not a programmer, so I'm, like, not privy to, like, programmer meetings or, like, how they...
Yeah.
They do it. Well,
because,
like,
you mostly work on the desk, right?
Yeah. So I feel like very much, like, I don't know what's going on in the department a little bit, because, like, it's not happening, like, at the library.
Right. Because everyone's working from home.
Because everyone's working from home, and, like, I can see on our calendar, like, when they're in programs, but it seems like most of the programs are live, and then they have, like, a couple.
Yeah.
Like, I think what the ratio is like, each person does, like, two live to, like, one recorded. Which, something that they've all learned is that doing a live program is a lot easier than doing a recorded one. It's a lot less work.
Well, because you have to edit the video and then check your sound and all that.
Exactly. And a lot of the programmers are not, like, that's not in their wheelhouse to, like, make and record a video. So I feel like everyone's done a lot of learning this past year. But yeah, so I was given the opportunity to help, and I really enjoyed it. I mean, we do a ton of editing with the podcast, so I felt like I had, like, a little bit of an in.
Yeah, it's just cool, like, to get a new opportunity, like, when your job is, because, like, when you work in libraries, jobs are pretty fixed. Like, this is your job, and that's what you do.
Yeah, they're all in little boxes that you have to, like, stay in, yeah.
So, it's cool when you get an opportunity to go outside of that.
Yeah.
So, like, what would you say your goal is, like, to kind of keep looking for those opportunities, or, like, to make the most out of this particular video editing opportunity, or, like, what would you say if you had to kind of pin it down?
I feel like it was just, like, look for opportunities to help more in that vein. And then, and like what I've done, like, I've gotten good feedback from my bosses, so that's been great.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yeah, so I just want to keep doing that.
I feel like it gives more pep to your workday when it's like, I got a new job, some new responsibilities.
Mm-hmm, very much so.
So that's cool.
All right, Jenna, what's your last goal?
My last goal is more of a personal goal.
I love how I was like, these are work goals. And you're like, you don't need to say that.
This is a work goal, but also a personal goal. I want to work more. I want to work more on less. I want to work more on less interrupting people.
Okay.
And being more clear in how I communicate verbally. Mm-hmm. Like, my written communication is, like, strong.
Yes.
But my verbal communication is not always there. Well, you listen to the podcast. No. And it's not, like, terrible or anything. It's just I've noticed, like, especially the interrupting, like, sometimes when I'm helping customers, I, like, interpret what they need before they say it. And then they're like, no, that's not what I meant. Like, sometimes it's like, yeah, that's exactly what I wanted. And then those are great moments. Mm-hmm. But sometimes, like, especially on the phone, like, we've done a lot of phone reference.
Yep.
It's like, oh, you want this? Oh, you're asking about curbside? Okay, are you at Maine? Are you, like, where are you at? And they're like, whoa, that's not all you want, I'm asking. So I want to work more on, like, being slowing down in conversations and, like, listening to what people are saying and not interrupting as much.
Mm-hmm. And I think being an active listener.
Yeah. Well, I am an active listener, but I don't, I interrupt. So I think it's more just, like, really paying attention and listening and slowing down a bit. Because, like, we grew up where you just interrupt people.
Yes.
I think lots of us have in this.
A family.
Yeah, our family's like that. And but I think lots of people are, we just, that's how we all, the culture is, right? And I guess, like, a very Western thing, right?
Yes, I think so.
And I'm not really, like, offended when someone interrupts me.
No, me either.
Like, I sometimes, it depends what, like, the context, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in conversation like this, it's like, whatever. But, like, in a meeting, it's different, you know?
Oh, yeah.
When you're, like, sharing your idea and someone's like, excuse me. But that's not the kind of interruption I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like, the casual stuff where you're, like, interrupting and then interpreting when they're not even done explaining what they need.
Yeah.
So, I just want to be more aware of that. And now that we have customers back in the library building, it's a good opportunity.
Very much so.
To do that. I just feel like, I don't know, I just noticed it more, like, the interrupting. Because it's, you're trying to be helpful, really. Because you're trying to be like, oh, I know what you need, here you go. And, like, quicker customer service, but really it's not helpful at all.
That's a good goal.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how that's going to work. But, yeah. And also, I'm trying to think about how to explain things before I say them.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'm explaining an idea to, like, my boss or a colleague or something, and in my head it makes perfect sense, but then when I try to explain it, I, like, try to use some metaphor that doesn't work. Like, sometimes I just need to pause and be like, okay, what am I saying?
Yeah.
Like, what am I really saying? And then I say a lot, like, does this make sense? I saw this thing on Twitter. I mean, on that, does this make sense? Because you know some people are like, oh, people who say, does this make sense? Or do you understand? Or, like, ask that at the end of what they're saying. Or am I making sense? It's like, shows that you're, like, insecure or whatever.
No, I don't
feel I don't think like so, but like, you know how people say that?
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you're always asking people if they understand what you're saying, it shows that you're not confident in your abilities to communicate.
Okay.
But I saw this thing on Twitter, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but the person tweeted, like, does this make sense? It's actually just the nicest way to say, do you understand this topic, and open it up for more conversation.
Yeah, like...
I don't find it, like, demeaning.
No.
Like, I'm not, like, oppressed because I say, does this make sense? I want to make sure you're on the same page as me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that I can't communicate, although I just said could be improvement. But, you know what I mean? Like, I don't find it... It's not a sign that I'm oppressed
or I'm repressed. That's weird. You know? Like, because I always think that's good customer service when you ask them, like, do you understand? Or, like, does this make sense?
I think does this make sense is a very nice way to do it. Because when it's like, do you understand? It's like...
Because then that's...
There's that you. Do you understand? Whereas does this make sense? There's no, like, attack there.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways, that's just, like, a tangent I thought was worthy of bringing up. But, yeah, I really just want to, like, get that communication narrowed down. And, like, when I go into meetings to be like, okay, this is the idea. This is how I'm going to communicate it. Because sometimes, too... When you, like, I do a lot of tech stuff in my job because I digitize things for our local history department.
Mm-hmm.
And I can get lost in the tech weeds, like, using terminology that people don't understand. Even, like, when I'm talking about the HTML stuff for that exhibit. Like, over the head, you know? And it's like, how do I say this in a way that's simple that people can understand, you know, and make that accessible for people?
Yeah.
So I'm not, like, down on myself. Like, I'm a fine communicator, but I just feel like I could do better.
That's a good goal.
Yeah. So that wraps up our goals. Mm-hmm. It was kind of a nice way to start, even though we are like into the year a bit. It was kind of cool to be like, okay, I've already started working on this. Here's what I'm doing.
Yeah. So, nice little update.
Yeah. So that's kind of an update of our lives, where we've been. And we hope you guys are doing well.
Yes.
I'm always curious if people are going to listen. Like, after we've been off for a while, I'm like, are they still going to listen?
Are you guys there?
Are you there?
It's like we're the girl that, like, gets a new boyfriend and then doesn't talk to her friends for, like, a month. And then comes back after they've broken up or something and been like, hey, guys, you want to hang out?
I feel like, though, my thing is, like, when we start a new, like, when we had a season break, I didn't feel so bad about having the gap.
No.
I just want to be clear that, like, when we say we're going to publish every other week, which is what we do, that we stay to what we say we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to be a person who sticks to my word. Mm-hmm. And then if for some reason we can't get one out, I'll put it up on Twitter or in probably Twitter. I'll just say, like, hey, not going to make it this week, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Like, I don't like it when creators apologize for, like, oh, sorry, I haven't said anything for so long. Sorry, I haven't made a video. I'm like, I don't care. Just make your stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I want to build that trust where it's like, we said we're going to do this.
So we're going to do it.
Exactly. With that being said, we'll see how the rest of the season goes.
Yes. Talk about goals for 2021.
Yeah. A little more consistent. Usually we're like consistent, and then we have like a 2-month break. And then it's like consistent.
And then we have another 3-month break.
Yeah. Although, like, I feel okay about this break because it was like a season end, right?
It was a season end.
We were on hiatus.
Yeah.
Anyways. That's a little insight into the behind the scenes of library life.
Very much so.
We hope you're doing well. If you have any comments on any of this, feel free to reach out to us on social media. You can send us an email at librarylifepodcast. Is that your email address?
Yes.
I couldn't remember if it was pod or podcast. podcast@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on Twitter at librarylifepod, Instagram at librarylifepod. We're going to try to be a little more active on there now that we're back into the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we love to hear from you. Share out, tell us your comments, if you have any reactions to what we said, any tips for working from home.
Mm-hmm.
Would love to hear those. But yeah, I think that sums up our first episode.
Yay! We're back!
We're back! Back streets, back! All right!
I was gonna say, we're back, baby!
Oh, well. How many different back things can we come up with? Anyways.
This concludes episode 37 of Library Life.
May the good books be long and the bad books be short. Until next time.